welcome to Hawk Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction, haunt entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we return to you once again on a Monday. Illness is still in the air around this house. No one's, like, seriously sick.
No.
This ain't, like, no coronavirus. Let's nip that in the bud.
Yeah, no. No,
we're not talking anything, like, remotely coronavirus or even flu caliber.
No, no fevers.
No fevers, no achiness, no real symptoms, just a little bit of tiredness, and some of that's the fucking time change.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I hate that so much.
I know.
Some of that's the time change, but basically it's like a little tickle in the back of the throat is the worst of it, and it's so frustrating because it just doesn't go away.
Right.
I think I kicked like everything else of this, but I still have that little dangle right there in the back of my throat that bothers me.
Yeah, me too.
So, you know. So, fair warning to you, if there's a little extra cough here and there, we'll try to turn away from the mic. We're not using the lavalier mic, so we're able to do that.
Right.
Hopefully that'll be a little less horrible for you guys. I apologize. But when you do a podcast with minimal editing, sometimes this happens.
Yeah. And also, you may be able to hear it in the background. We're going to try to get rid of it, but there's some noise going on outside. Kind of work.
I can't tell if I think it's the neighbor running his goddamn boat motor again.
Yeah.
Because he only takes that boat out like once every 10 years. And he has to go out there and like do maintenance on it and fire it up while it's on dry land. He should just sell the goddamn boat.
Yeah.
The two happiest days in a boat owner's life is the day he buys it and the day he sells it. Anyways, enough about boat buying advice.
Yeah.
This is indeed Haunt Weekly. We are at hauntweekly.com, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, and youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. We're also available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. Mm-hmm. And the topic this week is one we've kicked around a lot in various ways over the years, but it finally decided to like coalesce it into an episode and just see if we can get an episode out of it, honestly.
Right.
Because one of the things we, like, try to do as much as possible is try to get actionable information.
Yeah.
Things, you know, not just, you know, not just ideas or information or input, but something that you can take and do something with.
Yeah.
So, we're doing, why do people become haunters? I.e., why do people choose to join this really bizarre, tiny, lowly paid, often injured club?
Yeah.
When they could be doing, you know, other things.
Yeah.
Why do they choose to join us? Why do people become haunters? And how do you, A, recruit more haunters and keep the ones you have? Because understanding why people become haunters is crucial in both making new ones and retaining the ones you have.
Yes.
But first things first, conference reminders. Crystal, you're the oddball. It's the odd episode. Look, you made it the answer to a trivia question. I have to do it every time now.
Okay. So March 19th through the 22nd, it's Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show in St. Louis, Missouri at the America Center. It will be co-located with Transworld's Christmas Show and their Room Escape Show. They will be touring the Darkness and Lent Brewery behind-the-scenes tours. Features a party at City Museum on Thursday, a performance by the Vampire Circus on Friday, and a werewolf ball on Saturday. You can find out more at thehaashow.com.
I am seeing a lot of people in the haunt groups making various coronavirus and related jokes.
Yeah.
About going to Transworld. Well, I'm glad I brought all that Perel beforehand and... Well, I got my masks and stuff like that. It's all over all the haunter groups.
Right.
maybe just take regular, like, precautions that you should do at every conference.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I mean, they might not have corona, but they might have the flu.
Yeah.
Flu sucks, too, you know?
No.
Even if you got your flu shot, you can still get it, but it'll be weakened.
No.
Which is kind of what I suspect happened to us.
Right.
Because we never ran a fever, we never had the aches or the other stuff that comes with the flu, but it lasted long enough that it could theoretically be like a very low-grade flu.
Yeah.
Like a super duper week. And it just, it was the thought that crossed my mind. But they might have the flu. They might have the common cold. They might have the new virus.
Maybe.
You know, COVID-20. The sequel. It could be there. So yeah. Just maybe do that instead. And quit stocking up on toilet paper. Everybody needs to poop, okay?
Okay.
Jesus. All right, moving on. West Coast Haunters Convention is May 15th through the 17th in Portland, Oregon at the Doubletree Hotel Portland. Touring the Fear Haunted House, there's also a costume ball, a silent auction, and a Nightmare After West Coast Haunters Convention Film Festival with a secret selection of films. And yes, it is a secret selection of films, as in they still have not announced and will not until it starts. HauntersConvention.com for more details.
Okay, May 15th through the 17th, it's Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention in Mansfield, Ohio at the Ohio State Reformatory. It features a ghost hunt, costume party, and haunted house tours. OhioHC.com. OhioHHC.com.
Yeah, but sorry, I think you forgot an H. HHC.com yes. For more information.
For more info, check these guys out. They're nice.
Yes, they are. They are wonderful. If you were in the area and able to go, please do. We are intending to go next year if they're able to have it again.
Mm-hmm.
All right. After that, June 26th through the 28th, it's Michigan Haunt Fest at the Oaks Campground in Munich, Michigan, featuring demos, make and taste, camping, and more. Looks like a fun couple of days. Some of the proceeds will benefit the local Humane Society. MichiganHauntFest.weebly.com is the site for more information. Reminder to everyone, if you are planning on camping at this, please get your camping reservation ASAP. The ticket to the conference does not guarantee a camping spot.
Right, and going back in time, June 5th through the 7th.
Ooh, I skipped one.
You did.
Dang it.
It's Midwest Haunters Convention.
Now, you know, I am surprised that does not happen more often.
Yeah.
Like, damn, we have a short list today. No, Jonathan, yeah. I got confused.
Yeah.
It all felt so familiar.
Yes, it does.
Please finish up for me.
Okay, June 5th through the 7th at Midwest Haunters Convention in Schaumburg, Illinois at the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center Hotel, touring Abandoned Haunted House, Disturbia, and Evil Intentions. It also features a costume party and a kids zone. MidwestHauntersConvention.com for more on that.
Yes, my apologies to the Midwest Haunters Convention for skipping you on accident. Thank you, Crystal, for the save and the pickup.
Yep.
I have no idea why that happened.
It happens, though.
Yeah, it happens much more rarely than it should, given the chaos of our notes.
Yeah, because I don't know about you, but I tend to scroll ahead and see what's coming up.
And I think that's what I did. I think I just scrolled a little bit too far ahead when I was going through. And I thought one was for me, and I it happens.
Yeah.
Quick update about us. Not a lot to add this week. Like I said, we've been dealing with illness.
Yeah.
Like I said, not a coronavirus thing. It's just very boring illness, actually. It's,
yeah.
And honestly, even if we did have corona, you can't get it from a podcast, so what do you care?
No.
But no, and also, we're pretty much home quarantined anyway, so...
Yeah.
You're looking for work, and Ellie and I work from home.
Yeah. Yeah, we are spending a lot of time here.
Yeah.
Well, I did have a show this weekend.
Yes, you did. Yeah, and that's worth mentioning. You had a headdress show on Saturday. A local burlesque convention was in town.
Right.
You did a show there. You did very well.
Yeah.
Ended up being a very rewarding show. And it was like a lot of these shows in which you hang out there for 6 to 10 hours or whatever.
Right.
And make all your fucking money in 15 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly how it is.
Like, those 15 minutes right there,
uh-huh.
The hourly rate for that 15 minutes would be ungodly.
Right.
It'd be like over, you know, it'd probably be well north of $1,000 an hour.
Right.
But the rest of it, it's a little bit rougher.
Yeah.
But yeah, so dealt with that. So yeah, and we went to a festival a little bit yesterday. Roamed around. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, Los Cislinos.
Yeah.
I have not found El Diablo of Lerrazado.
Anyway.
I searched for it.
We learned of a new Diablo / Devil legend while we were there today.
Yeah.
Los Cislinos celebrates the Canary Islanders.
Right.
Who were brought to the region under, I guess you would say, false pretenses.
Yeah. And something
it's
to do
it's a complicated story.
Yeah.
But a whole bunch of them were brought to the St. Bernard area, which is just outside of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
sort of homestead.
Mm-hmm.
And their descendants continue that try to maintain the traditions today. And they have a whole heritage museum and things. And every year they do a festival.
Right.
Which is what we went to.
Yep.
So, yeah, we don't have a lot of haunt stuff going on. But I got to admit, this is why we have this podcast. To keep us thinking about haunt stuff, even when we don't have a lot going on in our day-to-day lives.
Right.
Keeps us focused.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, all that being said, we have talked a whole lot on this podcast about the kinship between haunters.
Yes.
I think that's something we've repeated amply.
Yeah.
And with good reason. Because we are strange animals. We haunters. Strange birds.
Yeah. Yes, out of everything in the world that we could choose to do, we choose to scare the crap out of people.
And we choose to bloody ourselves up. We choose to put on ridiculous costumes. We choose to put ourselves in uncomfortable positions, the purpose of surprising someone.
Right.
You know, and so on and so forth. And it's always interesting to me, and something I've noticed, is when you are a haunter, you are, and you're among other haunters, you're a haunter first.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we have diversity issues in the haunt community, don't get me wrong.
Right.
We definitely can do more to be inclusive to certain groups.
Right.
But from, like, an ideal, but in many ways, the tradition of haunting has been one of being a safe space for a variety of people that maybe don't have a home elsewhere in society.
Right.
Going back to the 70s and so forth, haunted attractions and haunt families were safe spaces for LGBTQ people.
Right.
And that was one of the places where they could be accepted, find that family, and have a home, at least for a season.
Yeah.
Among people who accepted them simply because they were a haunter.
Yeah, and I think that being able to have that space that anybody can join actually helps to overcome some biases that people may not have realized that they had.
Yeah.
Or maybe they did realize it and they changed their mind, you know, to work next to somebody that wasn't like them.
It's like I said, we could definitely do more to be more inclusive to certain groups. And there's definitely work to be done, but the history of haunting and even the present of haunting is still a wide variety of people coming together under one banner.
Yes.
But yeah, this raises the question, a very simple question. Why do people become haunters? What makes a person become a haunter? Why do we choose this?
Right.
For ourselves. I mean, and think about it. I mean, there's a lot to... I mean, we did our whole thing about what things that we hate about being haunters.
Right.
But even just, like, broadly, even if you take out a lot of that home haunt stuff that we deal with that's special to us.
Right.
Even if you're just an actor in a haunt, I say just an actor, like it's some minor thing. Even if you're an actor, it doesn't build the haunt or work on it or operate the haunt. You're still doing a lot of hard work, both physically and mentally.
Yeah. It takes a toll physically, definitely.
It's always interesting because, you know, people always, I've heard people say things, oh, come on, you're only open for, you know, 4 hours a night or whatever, five hours a night or whatever. You can't be that tired. Yes. You can.
Yeah.
It's exhausting. Halloween night, we are technically only open for 3 hours.
Right.
And I am never more tired than I am in the immediate aftermath of Halloween.
Yes. Whenever it closes, it's like all of the energy that has been pent up for the past month just leaves.
Just leaves. And I remember, not last year, because like I said, we were closed that year, and that sucked. Yeah. But the year before that, all the actors were in the actor tent. All the adult actors, the kid actors had gone home already. They left with their mom pretty quickly.
Yeah, they do. We only have one.
A few of those. We only had one. Yeah, we only have one or two now.
Yeah, we only had one then.
All the of-age actors, I literally, like, knuckle-dragged a 12-pack of beer, sat in the center and said, take.
Yeah.
Opened one, got one myself, sat down. And we just kind of sat there in silence.
Yeah.
Sipping beer for like 5-10 minutes before people finally started talking and sharing stories. And that got the energy level back up a little.
Right.
But there's nothing more exhausting than I could think of than a busy night at a haunted house.
No.
But yeah, a lot of hard work. The pay is terrible, if present at all. I mean, a lot of charity haunts and so forth don't pay. And there are people like us that actually pay money to be haunters.
Right.
You know, we spend money. We lose money every year. This is a loss for us. This is an expenditure.
Yeah.
And the other rewards are limited. You are only going to be doing this for a few weeks out of the year tops.
No.
Only a few nights per week, most cases. And only a few hours most nights.
Right.
You can literally be working on something all year. It's kind of like Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Working on something all year that you only showcase a few times.
Mm-hmm.
So, no matter how much you love it, the rewards for doing it are often very limited. So why the hell would anyone choose this?
I don't know.
It's a valid question.
It is. And whenever you look at it stacked up, you know, all the things that go out mm-hmm. of you as a person and financially into being a haunter, yeah. especially a home haunter, it doesn't make any sense at all.
And one of the things that I find interesting, like, for example, my other hobby is mm-hmm. lockpicking.
Yeah.
With much less money than I've ever spent on haunting.
Oh, yeah.
Much, much less physical labor.
Yes.
And not very much time really dedicated to it in terms of like years doing it. I've learned a real skill.
Right.
That I may be soon parlaying into a second career or mm-hmm. a new career for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it might be something I'm actually making money and, you know, benefiting my overall life through.
No.
Haunting has kind of the opposite impact. I spend more money, more time, and just get broker on the other side. More broke.
Yeah.
And even the people who run pro haunts, even the people who own pro haunts, if they took the skills that they have mm-hmm. into another field, they could probably make more money.
Yeah.
In almost every case. There's very few people, I think, that make the maximum amount of money they could in the haunt industry.
That is a top tier kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I think, like, if, for example, if you take the owners of some of these haunts, if they launched a different company
mm-hmm.
using the skills and the management organization that they have,
yeah,
they could, you know, be making far more money, even if it's a big haunt.
Yeah.
But anyway, so why would... I'm really getting down on haunting all of a sudden. Holy crap.
No.
That wasn't the goal, I promise. Oh, my God. But anyways, so we're going to look at why, in spite of all these drawbacks, people choose it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my experience and your experience, too.
Yeah.
And talking to other haunters, the things we've noticed that really unify us and bring people into haunting and get people to stay in it.
Right.
And element one, and I think this is the most important.
Oh, well, me too.
A creative streak.
Yeah. Yeah, because more than anything, haunting's creative.
Yeah.
I mean, we do everything. We build stuff. We paint. You know, you act.
No matter what role you do, what role you play, if you're just building the haunt, if you're acting in the haunt, if you're designing the haunt.
If you're making costumes, you're doing makeup.
Makeup. You're building scares.
Yeah.
Working in pneumatics. Working with Arduinos. Whatever. Yeah. It's all creative stuff. That's the thread that goes through all of this.
Yes. Now, there is a business side of it that's like bookkeeping and stuff. That's not the part we're talking about. That's very important for the business side.
I don't think anybody gets in the haunting so they can play account.
No. No. Exactly. You can be an accountant anywhere.
You can be an accountant anywhere and probably make a lot more money.
Yes. I've seen the numbers recently while looking for jobs.
Yeah. If you are a creative person, if you're not a creative person, you tend not to last very long as a haunter.
Yeah.
And there are people who are just not creative people. They have no interest in being creative.
Yeah.
And they don't really, I don't get it. I've met them. I can't connect with them or identify with them.
Yeah, I sell to them. That there was someone that came up to the booth Saturday. She's like, I have no creative bone in my body. This is beautiful.
I want and this. This is mine now.
How much would you charge me for a custom order because I have to have more bling on it? Like, well, this is the price. Here's my contact information. But, you know, she's not the first person that I've met that doesn't know how to be creative.
Yeah. And you know what? That's fine.
Uh-huh.
There's plenty of other things you can do with your time in your life.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not a knock on you. But here's the thing. you know, as a haunter, we need every creative type, right?
Yes.
You need painters. You need writers and storytellers. Mm-hmm. You need actors, obviously. You need musicians, people who can do sound design.
Right.
You need carpenters and builders. You need crafters of all types, too. Costume designers, makeup artists, like you mentioned. You need every creative type. And basically, everybody as a haunter likes to take things that are in their brain and make them real.
Yeah.
Whether it's, like I said, a makeup design, a costume, a room, a scare, a character.
Right.
We like to take things that exist in our brain holes and bring them out into the real world.
Yeah.
And haunting is a very, very creative outlet for a lot of people. It's a very important one. And one common thread I found, this isn't every haunter, but it is a lot, is that they're very creative people that are not creatively fulfilled in their day job or schooling.
Yeah.
And this is something that I found to be very, very true. You find a good example, like we've known like painters who paint houses and do great day-to-day work, but they love coming in and going to paint walls in a haunt because they get to just like fuck shit up. They get to have fun.
Exactly. Yeah.
They get to be creative.
I know for me, painting flat colors on walls is very different than detailing a wall.
And yeah. It's so interesting to me, just how, you know, people respond to this, and this becomes a substitute for the outlet they're not getting in their day-to-day job.
Right.
So what they do is they choose to come here into this play space of haunting in general, the entire space of haunting.
Yes, not just ours.
Not just ours. They come to the play space of haunting as a way to exercise that creative brain that they don't get to exercise as much day to day.
Right. No.
That seems to be a recurring theme I've heard over and over and over again. And, you know, you hear, like, you know, Brian Foreman is a postman.
Yes.
It's a very difficult, very important job. Mad respect. But I know he loves coming home and doing haunt stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's him flexing his creative muscles, man.
Yeah, we've got a few postal workers in the haunt.
Yeah,
community.
I don't know what it is with postal workers in the haunt. He was the one I thought of off the top of my head, but I was actually thinking, like, we know a ton of them.
Yeah, exactly.
There's like an insane amount of postal workers who are doing haunt. I don't know why.
No. Yeah.
But yeah, it's the creative outlet for people who are very creative by nature but don't have a job. That is over and over, a theme I see over and over and over again.
Yeah. I agree.
Element two. A wee bit of the macabre.
Yeah.
Or a lot of the macabre. You get to choose.
Yeah. I've always been one of the weird ones.
Yeah.
You know, my mom told me I was special when I was little, but whenever I got to be an adult, I said, was I just special or was I actually just weird? She's like, you were just weird.
Well, and here's the thing. We kind of downplay this sometimes when trying to talk to quote-unquote normal people about this. Oh, haunting's not all about blood and guts. And, like, one of the things is, you know, oh, haunting's all blood and guts. And they come and I show, no, look, we built these rooms. We built these panels. Look at the detailing we did here.
Yeah.
Look at the lighting. You know, this isn't blood and guts. This is a different type of creativity. We're doing everything from the lighting design to the panels to the sound design in the rooms to costuming. It's so much more.
Yeah.
Yeah, the blood and guts part is not that huge, ultimately. But you're not going to do very well as a haunter if you're not at least extremely comfortable with it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just truth, man. I hate to say it, but it's truth. Haunters usually have a fascination, but they always have a comfort with the macabre.
Yes.
Death, violence, gore, blood and guts, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They got it.
Yeah.
They're cool. They're at the very least cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
Most haunters enjoy a good horror movie of 20. I mean, that seems to be a common thread. But that goes along with liking the macabre, I think.
Yeah, there are some, you know, but then there's the one in Australia who's never seen a horror film.
Mm.
They just, like, make up all of these weird things by themselves.
Yeah, and that's fine, too, but it's still a love of the macabre.
Oh, yeah. You don't make dead babies for haunt scenes without being a
little macabre, at least on the side. A little on the sly macabre, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't pick it up through horror movies, but you picked it up somewhere.
Right.
You know, so that's one of the things. It's like, every haunter has at least a little bit of that macabre in them, and this is an outlet to bring it out. This is an outlet to sort of immerse themselves in it.
Yeah. And it's always funny whenever I do meet someone not in the haunt community who also likes finding dead things, like bones and things, and brings them home.
But that's one of the things. It's always like you find people that enjoy the same gothic, I wouldn't say gothic necessarily, but the same dark stuff.
Right.
And they're creative people as well. I find that a fascination with the macabre goes hand in hand with the creativity.
Yeah.
Making these two feel almost like the same item, oddly.
Right.
But not exactly.
Yeah.
But, like I said, you have to have at least a comfort level with it.
Yeah.
And honestly, having a comfort level with it enough to be in a haunted house and to work in haunted houses is pretty weird.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't choose to surround themselves with death imagery and death symbolism. Most people don't.
Okay. Most people. Like, yeah, that's probably true.
Most people don't. I mean, this is like, you know, Caitlin Doughty, the mortician.
Mm-hmm.
Talks all the time about her struggle to get people to think about death positivity and all that.
Right.
Because people don't want to think about death.
Right.
But we're all like, death!
Yes.
You know, so we're a little weird.
Yeah.
And then some of this does come with a little bit of a goth aesthetic. I mean, you go to HauntCon or Trans World, there's a lot of black.
There is. And there's also...
But I don't know if I would call it goth.
Yeah.
There is overlap, don't get me wrong, but...
Yeah, but there's also historical reasons why when we think of gothic or when we think of Victorian haunted houses, why that builds in to death culture of the 1800s and
yeah.
And how that's translated into now through
photos.
You know,
that would be an interesting episode
yeah.
later. I would love to do something about how death culture from the 1800s has shaped the haunt industry and Halloween broadly.
Yeah.
Because...
something I thought about...
because, like, the whole idea of the Victorian haunted house,
yeah.
It actually comes from the fact... Well, actually, that actually has more to do with the early 20th century, because a lot of those Victorian mansions were built in the 1800s.
Right.
Populated by rich people who went bankrupt, and all those style houses became abandoned.
Right. But in the 1800s,
yeah.
Whenever you would hold funerals in your home...
Yeah.
That's often when the family was together and the pictures would be taken. So
yeah.
the house would be decorated for a funeral with
yeah.
flowers and candles and, you know, a dead body.
Yeah.
well,
and it's also why you have the living room.
Right.
Which is the room for the living.
Yes.
As opposed to the parlor.
Yes. But this sounds like another episode
that
we'll do later after we get
research. If you're interested in this idea for an episode, let us know. We'll come back to it.
Yeah.
Caitlin Doughty, once again, Ask a Mortician, has actually a great episode on this.
Yeah.
And we'll probably be linking that in that future episode.
Exactly.
But no, it's very, very interesting. Being morbid isn't necessarily a requirement to be a haunter. But being comfortable with the macabre and being comfortable with dark things and being surrounded by death is.
Yeah.
And like I said, that is surprisingly special.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're weird. We have skeletons in the front yard right now.
Yeah.
It's March.
Yeah, I'm looking at, like, lots of skeletons in here.
Yeah.
Not organized very well, but they're in here.
But yeah, so we have, we all have that sense of the macabre.
Mm-hmm.
Three, the desire for power or to at least be unrestrained.
Yeah.
I had to find a way to word this one.
Right.
Because it kind of ties into the creative thing again.
Yeah.
Because this is a desire to fulfill something that you're not getting in your day-to-day life a lot of times.
Yeah.
And in some cases, that can be a sense of power. Why do we love scaring people? Mm-hmm. Because in that moment, when you get that reaction... You have power over someone. Now, it's consensual power.
Yes.
They're agreeing to be scared, and you're providing the scare.
Right.
It's all consensual. There's nothing ethically wrong with this, but you have a degree of power over them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why a lot of people, some actors, I won't say a lot, but some actors tend to overscare.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to scare even after the scare stopped being fun and the consent stopped.
Right.
And that's because they're hooked on that power, and you've got to watch that.
Yeah.
That feeling of power over someone when you make them scared is a drug.
Yeah.
And if you take too much of it, if you get hooked on it too hard, you can do actual damage to both the people you're scaring and the haunt.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly yourself, depending on how they respond.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, but even if it's not necessarily the feeling of needing to feel power, you need to feel unrestrained.
Yes.
Like you can just do whatever.
Within the bounds of, you know, sanity, obviously.
But yeah, in the laws of physics. But that you can be someone totally different.
Oh, yeah. That's
someone who behaves in a completely insane manner. If you brought your haunt character into your place of work, you'd probably fire. I mean, I get it. Dress for the job you want, not the job you have. That's not what that means.
No, no. Although that's pretty funny, but no, yeah.
Would be pretty funny, but no, that's not what that means.
No.
Because here's the thing. You don't see a lot of senators and CEOs lining up to do haunt work.
You don't.
Not a lot. Maybe some, but you don't see a lot. And the reason is they already have power, and being in powerful positions is their day job.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always interesting because, like dominatrices talk about how their biggest clients are high-power people.
Yeah.
They want to get away from that responsibility. They want to get away from the power. So when they go to have fun, they want to be.
Right. Well, and I mean, if you've ever been in a position where you had to spend time making all of the decisions.
Yeah.
It's nice to step away and say, hey, somebody else take the reins.
You are in charge of everything.
I don't want to make a decision for the next 24 hours.
Yeah.
And that sometimes just has to happen.
Yeah, you know? There's a reason why people who are in positions of power, when they go on vacation, they often take package vacations to resorts and things like that.
Where everything's planned for them and they don't have to think about
a goddamn thing. And why when you and I go, we're like, okay, nothing's planned. We have the whole world. We get to make decisions on where we're going. We have the power. Hey, you see that big ugly thing that way on the horizon in Budapest?
Yeah.
Let's just walk toward it
and
see what happens.
Exactly.
That's how we travel. We travel the exact opposite. We hate package vacations.
That's why Wichita was so boring.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there was no big ugly thing on that big ugly thing. It turned out to be actually a very big, beautiful thing. It was the Parliament building. But
yeah.
It just looked ugly that particular day because it was one gray-ass ugly day.
Yeah, and it was at a distance.
And it was at a distance. We were looking at it on the Buddha side, and it's on the Pest side. It's like 2 miles away from us, and it looked gray and dull as hell. We'll go to the big ugly thing, and it turned out to be quite beautiful. But
yeah.
But no. In that one moment, that's what we said.
Yeah.
People come to haunts in order to get something fulfilled in this area, too, that they don't get in their day-to-day life, whether it's in school, whether it's just part of their day job, whatever.
Right.
They want to feel free and unrestrained.
Yeah.
They want to feel that momentary power.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, they want that. You know, people don't come to the haunt family to get needs met that are met at their day job.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, I think because of HauntCon and the people who came through, we are actually going to have a new actress this year.
Mm-hmm.
A little girl whose sister's been working with us for several years. But she never wanted to go through the haunt. She would never come in.
She wouldn't even come past the gate.
No. Yeah. So
she waited in the front yard.
Yeah, this year she was old enough. She was like, "Yeah, I want to help for this night," and she did,
and she loved it.
Absolutely loved it,
and she killed it.
Yeah. So, and then I heard her and her sister talking as they were leaving. She's like, "Yeah, it's a lot different working in it than going through it, isn't it?" And she's like, "Yeah, that was awesome." So
you're getting the rush, you're getting the power, and as a kid, they never get to feel that.
Right.
Our whole lives are determined for them at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
They never get to make decisions.
Yeah.
Now they get to scare people. They get to control adults for a brief second.
Yes. Please, as a reminder, there are episodes of Haunt Weekly about kids and haunting and when to use them and when not,
and
all that stuff.
Blah, 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 yeah.
But yeah, no, they do get a lot of excitement and thrill out of it because they don't get to scare adults in their day-to-day.
Which is kind of weird because kids are scary.
Yeah.
Kids are terrifying, actually.
Yeah.
But yes. So yeah, it's just a chance to be unrestrained or to be in a position of power.
Right.
When they don't get to otherwise.
Yeah.
Element 4, the desire for family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to be clear about this. I'm not saying haunters come from bad families. In my experience, it's actually kind of the opposite. Haunters tend to come from pretty good families, at least on average. But the main thing here is people want to be in a place where they are accepted for who they are and what they love.
Right.
Not, we happen to be blood related, so we're sticking together.
Yeah. Or, you know, yeah, you're my blood relation, but you're totally the weird one that the family doesn't know how to deal with.
Yeah.
You're still a good family.
Yeah, you're still family. We still love you.
Yeah, you're still a good family. But, you know.
It's still a good family, still loving and supporting family, but this is a chance to have a family that loves you for what you are.
It's a family that you choose.
Exactly. And this, and honestly, this might be more of a thing for why people stay Haunters. I don't know many people who necessarily signed up for a haunted house.
Right.
In order to become a member of a haunt family. They discover the haunt family as that season goes on.
Yeah.
And that's why they come back year after year after year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a very, very important aspect. And one of the things, when actors are asked, what is important to getting you to come back?
Mm-hmm.
What is getting important to keeping you to return? That's the number one thing every time is the haunt family and the closeness of the peers.
Yeah.
The fun of scaring, all that actually comes in second. It's the family aspect that gets people coming back.
Yes. I feel accepted. I feel needed. I feel important.
I feel
involved.
Respected. I feel
yeah.
Like I have some creative control here. I feel like I have a say. I feel like I'm important. Yeah.
Yeah.
These are all key things. And, you know, haunts that do a good job building that, keep actors. I mean, you're not going to keep them with the pay.
No.
I mean, yeah, you should pay your actors.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a commercial haunt, yes, you should pay your actors. But no, that's not going to be the reason they come back year after year.
No.
And I would like to add, I think this is also true for, like, the larger haunt community. I mean, yes, it's true within our own haunt family. But the larger haunt community, I feel this way, too. Like, go on Haunt Chat and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Go on Haunters Hangout and see people. And, yeah, that feeling of brotherhood and kinship that you get.
Mm-hmm.
And can be with completely random people on Facebook, people you've never even seen their name before, but you have this bond with, and you get to, you know, communicate and talk and share stories.
Yeah.
It's a great thing. And I think that's definitely one of the reasons. I know that if we quit being haunters,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily if we quit our haunt,
right?
But if we quit being haunters, we would lose that. And that would probably be what I'd miss the most.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Sure as hell wouldn't be spending $500 on fucking wood every year. All right. And the final element is the pinch of insanity. I had to word this carefully.
Right.
But it's true, and you all know it's true. To quote the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland, we're all mad here.
Yeah.
And it ties in some with the macabre, but it's a little more than that.
Right.
There's plenty of people who are macabre. Go to any goth night at a club.
Yeah.
You'll find tons of macabre people. Almost none of them are going to be haunters.
Right. They're all lovely people.
Oh, very lovely and wonderful people.
Yes.
Wonderful people. I highly recommend going to goth night. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But you're not going to meet a lot of haunters.
Mm-mm.
At least not a truly passionate haunters about
no.
it. And then the reason is just we're wired differently. It's hard to say how and impossible to say why, but I've realized that haunters don't see the world the same way.
No.
We just don't.
No.
And some of it's learned, but some of it is, I think, purely built into us.
Yeah. Well, I think that we think about, you know, like, I don't know if you do this or how many people do this, but, like, in everyday life, in new situations, I look at, okay, this is the situation. How could this go wrong?
Yeah.
How could this go wrong? How could I make it fun? You know, there was the guy in the arcade when we were in Wichita at Dave & Buster's. He was shooting zombies in a game, and all I wanted to do was go up behind his head that I could see and bang on the window.
That's called haunted instinct. It's a real thing.
I didn't.
Yes.
Because, you know, that wouldn't be socially appropriate.
It'd be hilarious.
Yes.
No, I mean, it's like, I remember, like, one of the moments I realized I might be, like, a hardcore haunter happened to me when I was 14 or 15.
Yeah.
And I was looking at my parents' front porch, and I'm going, okay, the street light is on that side.
Uh-huh.
It's going to bring light this way. There's a drop-off on the porch here. That side's going to be in dark shadow. especially if I do a black light container right. around the frame. And I'm doing all this, and I'm thinking about it in March!
Yeah, yeah, you're mapping out your scare in March for Halloween. As a kid.
As a 14 or 15, you know, and it's like, yeah. It's crazy because, and that's when I realized, whoa, normal people don't have these thoughts.
Yeah.
We're always looking at the world as if it's a haunted house.
Yeah.
And always sort of, and like you said, seeing scare opportunities and trying to restrain ourselves from taking them.
Right.
But it's like you slip into that T-1000 vision from like the Terminator.
Right.
Scare opportunity.
Yes, exactly.
And you're honing in on it. We do that. Haunters all have that instinct. All see the world that way. Mm-hmm. 24/7, 365, and it's not normal, guys. It's flatly not normal. You're not supposed to do this. You know?
No.
We see the world in a very, very different way, and some of it, like I said, you know, and it's funny because it's not like it's a political or a religious difference, to be clear.
No.
It's a wholly practical viewing.
Right.
You know, it's wholly practical in that you see the world as a haunted attraction.
Yeah.
And when you go into your haunt, you're trying to take what you've visualized and thought about in the real world and bring it in.
Yeah.
Like, one of the scenes we had this year, the bathroom sequence, came from me walking past a line of stalls and realizing if someone just busted through those stalls, I'd be hosed. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Someone came actually, like, brah!
No, I know.
I'd be hosed.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to pee! And A, why are the stalls ahead? I don't remember what the stalls were.
Well, no, we were in the Houston haunt with all of the curtains for the doctor's room.
And yeah, nobody, and that was when it came home that we should do that.
Yeah, nobody came out. And so then we were like, okay, what are other scenes? Because we don't want another, like,
and then I think I threw a bathroom because... The realization of, I've had that realization multiple times in bathrooms where if someone just like flings open that door and bras me or like boos yeah. me, I'm dead. It's over. And that's a scare and a quarter because you have an expectation there that you can easily defy.
Right.
And I think that's actually the secret. We look for ways to play with and defy expectations in the real world.
Yeah. Because I mean, with the bathroom scene, it's not just... You know, having a door open. How can this door open in a way that isn't anticipated?
Yeah. It can't open like a swing, like a hinge.
No.
It opens like a slide.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Why would a bathroom door open a slide? Because fuck you, that's why.
Yeah.
it's my odd.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're playing with the expectations. You have seen a million bathroom stalls. You have the expectation that it's hinged. And
right.
It will open like a door.
Yep.
We're not going to let that happen, and we do, and haunters take that same love for messing with expectations into the real world.
Yes.
And they go to situations, and like, how can we mess with a situation? And as you said, how can things go wrong? How can the expectations of myself and others be completely subverted by something else?
Right.
And like... You and I both do the same thing when we get on the ferry boat.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm
thinking. We look for the lifeboat, and we are planning how we're jumping in that water.
Well, I am also looking at, well, now that we both know a little bit of, I know a little bit, you know a lot about lockpicking.
Yeah.
About how to get to the life preservers, get in the cabinet quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm looking for. Where are the exits? Where are the exits? How do we get out of here? What are their safety measures that are in place for this situation?
Yeah, if those cabinets are locked, I'm getting in.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. Wait for lockpick at the ready. That ship ain't gonna have time to go down.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, we're always looking for ways in which expectations of others and ourselves can be defied.
Right.
And sometimes restraining ourselves from doing exactly that.
Yeah. And, you know, walking into a room and saying, okay, how could this room be made scary?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It's filled with all of... It's a high school reunion. Scariest thing I can think of.
Yeah. Is that why we didn't go?
Mm-hmm. So, okay. We've discussed some of the elements of why people become haunters. How do you use this?
Yeah.
Well, the first thing I would say is to recruit people who are creative or clearly creative, but are not likely creatively fulfilled.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Every time someone says, oh, we're short on actors, where do you go? Oh, go find your high school's drama club.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a great idea. Don't get me wrong. That's not a bad idea. Because what you are getting is a bunch of people who have been trained as actors and who can hit the ground running with a character and can probably do reasonable work.
Right.
But you may not be getting a lot of long-term haunters out of that.
Right, because they are drama kids, and that's where their passion is, and they're already getting that fulfilled elsewhere.
Exactly. They already have an outlet for it that probably takes up more of their time, and is clearly more important to them, because they're doing that year-round.
Right.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, have you thought about recruiting people maybe in the auto shop?
Right.
Or the wood shop?
Right. Or the computer design program.
Yeah. Places where people clearly have creative talent and a creative, you know, desire, but maybe aren't getting the outlet yet, especially at, like, early on. Like I would say, like, not necessarily trade school auto shop, for example, but like a lot of high schools offer auto shop in some parts of the country, where they're learning the basics and they're not really getting to apply it much yet.
No.
This is an opportunity. You can reach out to them and say, hey, would you like to try this? This is something different. You're clearly good with tools.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not on our list, but I guess you could look at home ec, too, for costume makers.
Actually, that's a great point.
You know, I hated home ec because I was made to take it. I was a girl, so I had to take home ec.
Yeah, home ec has a lot of complications.
Yeah.
But it still does exist. And, yeah, you will find some creatively unfulfilled people there.
Yes. Yes.
You will find no shortage of them. So, yeah, and that could have been the place you recruited Crystal all those years.
Probably, yeah.
Been the easiest place to do it, too. So just think about that.
Hey, I've noticed that all of your sewing projects for this class are Halloween-themed.
Yeah.
Because they were.
and so why not offer that? Why not extend? Yeah. Why not? Don't just look at like the drama club. Don't look at the kids that already have an outlet.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's handy. They could be good for a stopgap. Don't get me wrong. There's a place and time and a place for that. But if you want to build long-term people, finding those that need a creative outlet and are starving for one.
Right.
That's where you got to go.
Yeah. And you also have to give them a good haunt to play in.
Yeah.
A good space.
Exactly.
Because I know it always hurts my heart a little when we go through a bad haunt and see someone working their ass off. I mean, and they're just amazing, and they deserve so much better.
Yeah, I can't remember which one it was, but a couple of years ago, someone I could vaguely see the outline, the way it was lit, they were on top of like a cake or something, and they're working their ass off up there, but nobody can see them.
I know where that was.
And that's just so rough.
Yeah.
It breaks your, and you're right, it hurts your heart.
Yeah.
And because here's the thing, the most excited people year after year about our haunt are the firefighters and the termite guys.
Right.
The firefighters come through almost every year.
Yeah.
They come through either on one of the nights we're open or they come through immediately after. They love it. They got a very difficult job. It does have a lot of creativity and problem solving, but they get so excited about the haunt, and we have had firefighters work in it for that very reason. And the termite guys love it too.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, a difficult, hardworking job, very important, does have a lot of problem solving to it, but clearly they enjoy the unusualness and the play and that element of it.
Yeah, they often send the rookie.
Yeah. So, yeah, my advice is, like you said, recruit people who have jobs and activities that indicate they are creative and are used to and comfortable with hard work, but may leave them open to more creative exploration.
Yeah.
It may leave them unsatisfied creatively.
And there are some obvious places to look, too, that, you know, like mortuaries, because the girl we met the other day at the show, she would be great in a haunted house.
Yeah, I mean, she would be.
But
she might also be getting her macabre fix and her creativity fix already, so. I don't know. I'd have to ask her that.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about mortuary work, honestly. The second thing is to focus on the haunt family. This seems to be a recurring theme of this podcast and elsewhere, but the haunt family is super important. Basically, go back. We have Japes listed as a guest on the hauntweekly.com. He's done a bunch of episodes with us, and all of them at least touch on this.
Yeah.
In some capacity. Haunt family is what keeps people coming back. It's why people invest in being haunters long term. Be careful, it can become toxic. We saw that with Field of Screams recently.
Yeah.
That it can turn toxic, but it can be very, very beautiful too.
Yeah.
And finally, and I think this is the one that we have to focus on as an industry a lot of times, because and the Facebook groups typically have done a good job,
mm-hmm.
like by saying things like no politics, nothing not haunt related,
right.
keep it on target. This isn't, you know, a bulletin. This isn't, you know, 4chan or something. We can just post any random crap.
Yeah,
keep it on target, basically. But remember what unites haunters. You're going to get a diverse bunch of people. They're from different ideologies, different faiths, different socioeconomic backgrounds. You're going to get people from a variety of backgrounds, like I said, and focus on what brings them together. Focus on why they're there. Encourage the creativity. Encourage that freedom of play. Encourage the feeling of power. Give them that space
mm-hmm.
that makes all that possible. If you focus on that and focus on the other elements that unite, and remove people who try to insert divisions.
Right.
That latter part's important.
It is.
Once again, Japes, the episode about cancerous actors.
Yeah.
Very important episode. He talked about how you have to get these people out immediately because they will fracture your haunt family in ways it can't recover from.
Right. And we found that to be true. As yeah. I mean, that was one of the hardest decisions we made, was losing five people.
Yeah.
Because of the mentality that they just weren't right for our group.
No. And they were posting extremely, they were saying and engaging in extremely divisive, we'll just say divisive, we'll be polite.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not calling out what it was.
Yeah.
Stuff that was would have been considered anti some of the people in the goddamn haunt.
Yeah. Yeah, so,
you know,
so yeah, and they were doing this on their open Facebook page.
Yeah, and there's so much Facebook friendness there that
yeah,
everyone overlaps.
Yeah, so it wasn't worth it for us to keep them.
Yeah.
And we've got a much better crew, much more diverse crew
even
now.
Even with the closure, I feel very confident in our group right now, and I think we're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got to get rid of those who divide. It's a tough choice. It hurts, especially if you are struggling to find actors.
Right.
But if you don't do it, that struggle is going to get a lot worse.
Yeah. And, you know, I do typically find that if you put good things out there and you let people know that you're a safe place to come and work for anybody,
yeah,
then people are going to show up.
Yeah. People, I mean, it's like I said, it comes down to people want to have things that they are not getting in their day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Haunters are creative people who, for whatever reason, aren't getting their creativity fulfilled in their day job. Maybe they are working a creative job, but they're just so out there creative.
Yeah.
Or they need a different creativity.
Well, I mean, it's like you write for your day job.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not super
creative.
Not the kind of writing I do. I do journalistic writing. It has a creative element.
Exactly.
It kind of tickles the creative itch.
Yeah.
But it doesn't quite, you know, push me all the way over.
Right.
That's why haunting is there. That's why I have that as a freeing. And it's also a chance to do a very different type of creativity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, finding creative people who may not be fully creative fulfilled and need another outlet. Need either an outlet or another outlet. Is one of your first steps.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, you got to find them that are cool with the macabre. You got to find people that have that little bit of weirdness in their brain that causes them to seek to defy social norms and expectations.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when I'm at a doctor's office and I'm waiting in the room and they knock on the door and I'll shout, "Come back with a warrant."
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't know how to deal with that. It's actually a lot of fun. You should try it sometime.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, you find the right people, even if they don't know they're haunters, they very quickly become them.
Right.
And then they stick around a long time and become really good at it.
Yeah.
Well, that's all for this week, folks. Thank you very, very much for spending the damn near past hour with us. Hope some of this was interesting, engaging, or useful. This has been Haunt Weekly, episode number 223, about why people become haunters. You can find more of our content at hauntweekly.com or Haunt Weekly on Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. All the previous episodes are there and should be very easy to access if you need to. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. We're pretty much there.
Yep.
Until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we're back with episode 224, which is divisible by four. And that means it's time to do
the news.
We'll see you next week, hopefully, with some good news. I really haven't seen what's going on. I can't give you a preview. Really should have done that before I came in here. But oh well. We'll know next week. See you then.